This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Noel. 7:47 in the morning, Friday the 29th of January. And yesterday, Transparency International released its annual Corruption Perceptions Index, tracking how governments around the world are perceived. Now, this year, Malaysia came in at 57th out of the 180 countries in the index, dropping 6 spots compared to last year. Our overall score also fell 2 points to 51 out of 100. So to shed some light this morning on this drop, we're speaking to Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. Dr. Mohan, thanks so much for joining us today. So first of all, why is it important to pay attention to the CPI?
Thank you very much for having me this morning. The CPI actually measures corruption in the public sector as perceived by the business community, experts, and also mainly expatriates who are here. And if you get a poor score, that would mean that the respondents believe that corruption is a big problem among the public officials. So the CPI is actually measuring the corruption in the public sector. So investors tend to watch this indicator before they decide to invest in this country, or those who are already here, whether they should put more money here or to other places. But I must say that the CPI is only one of the indicators. There are, of course, other indicators, the Bright Payers Index, the World Bank's Country Competitiveness Index, and so on. So it is very important that any government pays attention to the CPI, and more so for Malaysia, because fighting corruption has been a topic among the government itself, even during Barisan Nasional's time, and of course Pakatan Harapan, that was top in the agenda when they came into power. And of course Perikatan Nasional, when they came to power in January 2020, they did not dismantle the whole structure put by the PH government. So in that sense, the commitment is there, but the CPI this year for 2020 has deteriorated.
I wonder how much of this perception is a reflection of reality.
Well, take note that the CPI is only measuring the corruption in the public sector, about public officials and so on. But in November last year, we did issue release another survey results, which is called Global Corruption Barometer. That is covering a wider area. It is about the respondents are citizens of the country. So the survey is done from Perlis to Johor, from Kuching to Kota Kinabalu, whereby the sample size is much, much bigger. And you ask the public, what do they think about corruption in the country? So just very quickly give you a number. Out of the samples surveyed, Malaysians, 71% of Malaysians feel that corruption in government is a very big problem. So when you look at the scenario, to know what is the reality, you can't just base on CPI alone. We also have to look at others. So the GCB, Global Corruption Barometer, and the CPI could be used as a yardstick of what is happening. Now, just to add a little bit more, to know what is the reality, I mean, we can see day in, day out. You know, we hear the immigration officials corrupt and issuing fake visas for foreign nationals to illegally come in. Then you recently had the non-halal meat scandal, and it was reported that for 40 years this has been going on without being caught. So how could all this happen without corruption being involved? So the CPI gives a fairly a good indication of where the country is heading.
So, Dr. Mohan, then, considering, you know, what you said about the Perikatan Nasional government when they came in, continuing a lot of the issues, the policies or the roadmaps that Pakatan Harapan had put in place, what were some of the factors that contributed to this drop in Malaysia's CPI ranking this year?
You see, when I mentioned that the Perikatan Nasional government did not object, what I was trying to say was, number one, the National Anti-Corruption Plan, they didn't dismantle it. You know, sometimes you have a government come in, new government come in, they will totally discard the entire plan. And so they did not do that. So that was, I think, fair. To be fair to them, we have to appreciate. I think the reason for the drop in the score is institutional reforms. For example, the IPCMC bill, which is related to the police misconduct. If you could recall, the RCI was formed 15 years ago and several recommendations were made. And then the PS government tried to improve it or, you know, after consultation, tried to modify. And now they came up with the IPCC bill. Now, if you look at the IPCC bill, it's a toothless bill, which is not effective at all compared to the IPCMC bill. And we continue to have issues on misconduct, you know, within the police force. So the whole spirit of the IPCMC is actually to help the police force to push their image up. So, and a lot more other cases, I mean, in a sense that the corruption is still rampant in the government sector, and they go unpunished. Right? So these are the things that actually contributed. A lot more things has yet to be done. And the other one is the anti-corruption plan. There are 100 and national anti-corruption plan. There are 115 initiatives inside there. And since this PM government came, less updates are coming up. We do not know so much about what the updates on the progress and so on. And the last example I can give you is the high-speed railway with Singapore. The project was cancelled, and Malaysia is supposed to pay compensation to Singapore. And when civil society, we raised the question, how much are we going to pay? The answer was, we have an non-disclosure clause in the agreement and we cannot. So what we are saying here is, you know, there are issues of national security we can understand. But those which are taxpayers' money, I think the riot have a right to know. So these are some of the things that, you know, is perceived as not very transparent. And that is also the cause for all this, for the drop. Although the drop of 2 points statistically is not significant because the margin of error is 1.6. So 2 points, you know, you can say that it's not so significant. But it gives a good indication where the country is heading. So that is why we are strongly suggesting to the government that let's do something about it and to reverse the trend before it gets worse.
Now that we have an emergency that's expected to continue maybe till end July, and so because of that, major reforms may not be debated and implemented, do you expect our rankings may actually fall further this year?
Yes, you're right. You see, in this CPI survey, for example, there are total 13 surveys, and Malaysia is we use 9 surveys. The rule is you need minimum 3 surveys to qualify to go into the CPI. So we have 9 surveys. Out of these 9 surveys, there's one particular organization who does the survey. It's called Variety of Democracy. Now, this organization who does this survey, their focus is on democracy in every country. So we are now a little worried, actually, because with the emergency, there's no parliamentary democracy, and bills are not debated, and so on. So the check and balance is not there. And if this continues until August, we would have practically lost about 8 months for the 2021. So when the results are tabled in 2022 for 2021, I expect that the score is going to go down further. And that could have a negative impact on our CPI. So you are right that with this emergency, that puts added pressure now on the CPI.
So given the compressed time frame that we're now facing, Dr. Mohan, what can we perhaps do better this year in order to avert the ranking falling too much further come next year?
Yes, the what the government should do fundamental is the institutional reforms. This should not be politicized. And I think the spirit of bipartisan politics is absent in our country. And this is one of the reasons. Because the institutional reforms, most of it were pushed through by the previous government. So what we see is the momentum to continue with these reforms is not there. Or even if they do it, you know, they scale it down, and then it gets not so effective. So the institutional reforms is one, number one. Number two, action should be taken against civil servants for misconduct. For example, in Auditor General's report, year after year, we get adverse reports of misconduct, not following procedures, and so on. So the question is, what kind of punishment? By merely transferring a person is not good enough. Severe action should be taken, and so that it's the deterrent factor for others who are in service.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Mohan. That was Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, shedding some light on Malaysia's fall in the rankings of the Corruption Perceptions Index, which was published yesterday. And I think he makes a good point there at the end, talking about the little time that we have left in order to actually push legislation and reform if the emergency only ends come August 1st. So it's a... He sounds very certain, and I think at the same time it's not a very bright picture, the fact that we are going to see a further fall in the rankings, which will affect perceptions of Malaysia in the longer term.
Yes, it certainly does not help a drop in corruption rankings as well as political uncertainty. All this is going to weigh down on our chances of attracting more FDIs, right? And of course, some people will argue that we shouldn't be relying on foreign money. We should relook at our business, our economic model. But foreign money is not just about capital. It's about job creation. It's about transfer of knowledge. So all that is still very important. But you know, one thing though, I think when I listen to all the kind of reforms that he listed down, maybe we'll improve our rankings +2, +3 points. And I think that's still a big win. But you know, the rot never goes away. Mm. As long as civil servants who are caught for misconduct, they are not actually fired. They've just moved around and maybe even some get promoted. Like maybe they will even come back as ministers.
Yeah, this is something that is long running issue, I think, in this country. So this is something that we will be keeping a close watch on. But right now we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Ong Yang Ming, Vice President of Business for APAC and the Middle East at Texas Chicken. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.